the show.
Well, hey everyone, welcome to this week's show. Wow, we are just finishing out this year. It's amazing how this time has flown. I'm like, now I'm 29. No, I'm just kidding. Oh my goodness, I wish it was so, but no. Very fun show for you this week, and let me go ahead and introduce it to you, as I always do. First of all, later in the show, you know Sam Moorcroft. He's the founder of ChristianCafe.com, and once in a while, we tap into his expertise in the online dating world to answer a question. This week, it's from a youngster. I think our question asker is about like 23 and has decided to try online dating, and they're kind of concerned about being matched or pursued by a bunch of like older guys. So they want to know, like, seriously, like, is this what's happening here? So Sam gives kind of some good advice on that front. Then for our culture segment, Chad Eastham, he speaks on the Revolve Tour. He's a single guy who has written stuff. I think he has a book called The Truth About Guys. He always is trying to tell women what they need to know about guys. So he kind of jumps in and allows me to pepper him with some questions about what we should know and his perspectives on what he sees when he's out and about. So a fun conversation with Chad. But here we are for a discussion with a few of us women on online dating. I have two new guests here at the table. And before we jump into that, I do want to let y'all know, speaking of Christian Cafe, that we still have a special offer for Christian Cafe going on for Boundless folks. We love you, Boundless folks. So we always try to help you out where we can. Go click on our ad at Boundless, the ad that we have on the website for Christian Cafe, or you can go to Christian Cafe and use the promo code Boundless, and you'll get an extra 4 days on your free trial. If you actually upload a photo, you get even more, 3 more days. So that would be a total of like 2 weeks free. So, you know, some sites have those like free weekends or whatever. We're giving you free weeks. Okay, let's just be honest. So give it a shot and then let us know what you think. So, but here we are. I have got Adrian and Ashley here. Ladies, welcome.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey, hey.
Thanks
very good to have
us.
You.
Thank you.
I know. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah, doing okay.
Pretty good. Just living life.
Pretty much, yep.
Living life and online dating when you get a chance.
And online dating, yeah. Yes.
Good.
It kind of takes up a lot of life.
Oh, my word. Okay, so before we even started taping, I was talking about telling you guys my first foray into it, which was like 5 or 6 years ago now. And I just went in totally bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and my friends and I all decided to do it together. And we're like, this is going to be so awesome. And we went and did this, like, you know, kind of low-key, low-skill photo shoot where we tried to, like, get good photos of ourselves.
Yeah.
And we had fun doing that because, you know, you have to have good photos to go up on your site.
You do.
So we did, and then we filled out all of our profiles and just went gangbusters, and it was quite the year. I did it for a year solid and have done a couple little stints since then, so I definitely have my own stories, but we want to talk about this today because you guys are, I want to know, when did you guys first go online? How long have you been at it? Because you guys are both currently online right now, right?
Yes.
Kind of,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of.
Excellent. That's kind of one of those, conversations where,
yes,
it's like, yeah, I'm kind of on. But, okay, so how long have you been doing it?
Let's see. I started this actually not too long ago, maybe end of the summer, I think.
Okay.
So I'm going on a couple months now.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. My first foray was the year after I graduated from college, mm-hmm, probably 3 years ago, mm-hmm, 4 years ago. And I've done it kind of off and on since then. And I am recently doing a month of Marry Well just to see what it's about.
Okay. All right. So I want to know really what prompted you guys to decide to go online, because it seems like I get kind of two different stories. And of course I was kind of there somewhere in the middle of this is, I find, especially with women, a lot of women are like, this is the one thing that I feel I can do to feel like I'm doing something, mm-hmm, in my dating
absolutely
world. Like, you know, because a lot of, especially, you know, we here at Boundless, we say, you know, let the guys step up, let men initiate, don't go chasing after guys, don't go, you know, scoping out, you know, the welcome center at your church and be like, hey guys, you know, whatever, you know, don't hang out in bars, don't whatever. We don't want that to happen. But this kind of gives us some feeling of control or, mm-hmm, contribution. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I know that that's sometimes a motivator. But a lot of women too, quite frankly, will tell me, Lisa, I just didn't think I'd ever have to go online. I just thought I would meet someone in college, yeah. or I thought I would meet someone down the street, or I'd meet someone a la You've Got Mail, or, you know, whatever. So what really kind of prompted you guys to finally make the plunge?
Well, mine was more of what you were previously saying about the taking control and just being really highly motivated to have some form of control in that aspect. Yeah, I went through this summer, or, you know, even into like last year a little bit, I kind of went through a season of a lot of heartbreak and a lot of almost relationships that, you know, kind of turned south, turned sour. And back in, I think it was maybe June or July, there was someone in my life who thought she met the perfect guy for me. And she said, you know, your music taste is so similar. You guys are into the same activities. You're both Christians. So she told me his name. And of course, I went on Facebook like any girl would. And I stalked him for a little bit. I found out he was in his mid-40s. And that just kind of stopped it right there. And I kind of had that moment of...
Because you're in your late 20s.
I'm 28. Okay. Yes, I'm 28 years old. And he's in his mid-40s. And I realized, oh my word, I don't want this to happen anymore. I'm going to just do something for myself on my own, and I'm going to try it. So that night, the day that I found out that he was in his mid-40s, that night I went online, and I think I started eHarmony that evening. And I was just ready to kind of take control of that.
Yeah, for me, I was a year out of college, and in college I was really involved with a campus ministry and had guy friends, girlfriends. And a year after college, I was working full time, and my peer circle shrunk considerably. And I go to a large church. I was having a really hard time finding new people to meet, and no one was offering any men for me. So I thought I would go for it. And I was 23, I think, when I tried it for the first time. I'm 26 now. And I just, like Adrian was saying, just wanted to have some way that I feel like I could contribute to the future that I wanted to have for myself, because I want to be a wife and a mom. That's my ultimate goal. And it wasn't happening on my timetable. So I thought, hey, you know, I'll give it a chance. I want to meet new people, meet new guys in the city that maybe I haven't, you know, thought of or been introduced to yet.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I think when I was in it, I just found myself, whether the guys that I met or the guys that people tried to set me up with, I just realized that I weeded through a lot of variables. Like a lot of time, you know, it was someone that either had a, you know, goals for their future that were extremely disparate from mine, where I just felt like our paths aren't even heading in the same direction. Or they were, you know, I felt like I had to do a lot of work ferreting out their faith, where they were and stuff. And so I kind of thought, you know, this is a great way to get my numbers up, figure out, you know, get to know a lot of people at once, you know, kind of give the guys an opportunity to do something too in that or whatever. So I just saw it as like super efficient. You know, I was kind of like, this is going to be my efficient approach to finding a match.
Yeah,
you know,
it makes sense.
I know, doesn't it? I mean, it's kind of like, I like that, the orderly process of that and everything. So that makes sense. So what would you guys say? I mean, let's talk about first impressions. So going online, I mean, you have to fill out, some places have extensive profiles or extensive tests, you know, compatibility stuff and all that. What were you guys expecting going into the experience of online dating? And then what was kind of your first impression? Like that first week, how did that play out?
I think my first impression was really positive. I was meeting tons of guys, getting matched with tons of guys, and that was encouraging to me, because if you are just meeting people in the traditional way in real life, you know, maybe someone will come along every 6 months or maybe a year, you meet someone in a small group, or you are introduced by a friend or something. But I just felt like it was very rapid, that I was having interest. And so that was definitely a confidence booster, of course. And I talked to several guys and messaged back and forth, and very quickly ended up meeting a couple of people. So I think it was overall pretty positive. It wasn't until later that I realized the certain negatives of it.
Mine was a little different. I went into it, I think, almost like with frustration, maybe, and like the wrong motives, probably. So I don't know exactly what I was expecting, except for just to feel better about myself and just to see that there are other people, rather than, you know, men I'm not interested in that aren't Christians, that are older than I would be interested in as well. So yeah, I kind of did it out of that frustrating moment, and I do remember it taking forever to mm-hmm. fill out that profile. Mm-hmm. So I probably took my time with it for a couple days. But after I finally got everything submitted and had my profile going and my pictures, of course you put your best pictures mm-hmm. up. the very next day, I come to work and was talking to a couple friends, and like they're asking about, you know, how'd it go last night? You know, you have your profile now. And I told them that I already had an email from someone, and I remember their expression was, oh my gosh, you got an email already? Like, wow, he must be pretty interested. And it just really scared me. I realized, mm-hmm. oh boy, what did I just get myself into? Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk to this person. mm-hmm. So I felt really overwhelmed by it, mm-hmm. and I probably like didn't watch any movies or any TV like I normally would, because I was just spending so much time on my laptop checking yeah. out these profiles, like, oh my word, Lord, what am I doing? Uh-huh. so I was a little overwhelmed that first week.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I got used to it, and I got used to the, you know, they send you so many matches a day, and mm-hmm. yeah, you're going to get messages and winks and smiles and whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's part of it. And then I realized, okay, I'm all right. This is what's supposed to happen. This is what I wanted, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So backing up a little bit, because I had meant to ask you guys this as well. Did you feel like when I started online, and I have older sisters who this wasn't even around when they were dating and getting married, you know, and one of my sisters, and I've mentioned this on the show before, specifically told me, oh, she said, it shouldn't have to come to this, you yeah, know, and there was uh-huh. kind of that. Do you guys get that impression from people of like, oh, did you really have to settle and go into online dating? Did you really have to? I mean, how has others' responses been to this? Or is the stigma kind of lessening a little bit, would you say?
Mm-hmm. I was that person, actually. Okay. Yeah, sorry.
Thanks, Adrian.
Yeah. I was that person that would say, really, do you have to do that? You know, just go to a church group. There's going to be plenty of people. Go hang out with friends at a party. You'll meet someone really cool. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm really eating my words now because I'm doing it now. And I think I have maybe both sides, like both sides of that, as far as people saying, really, Adrian, come on, what are you doing? And then the side that's saying, that's so great. I encourage you to do that, you know, take a risk, put your best foot forward and go for it and see what happens. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of getting both. I think it's definitely a lot more acceptable now, especially for a woman that's working full time, not mm-hmm. in college anymore, and already has a lot of interests and a lot of commitments in life. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes that's what you have to do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, I got some pushback from married friends that felt like I should have met someone in college or mm-hmm. should have been easier, should be easier to meet somebody. But of course, they weren't offering any like suggestions mm-hmm. in helping. So I got some pushback from maybe some of my
older...
That's
when you push back on them.
Yeah.
Like, seriously? Like, show me the money.
You're not going to help me. Yeah. Then. Mm-hmm. No, but... And I got some pushback on... from like maybe my grandma and some of my aunts.
Yeah.
Because they just think like, you know, times have changed, culture has changed. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, I know several people that I actually trust and respect that are normal, you know, nice, have good personalities, people that have met people online and married them. And so I thought, why not me? You yeah. know, why not just go for it? And mm-hmm. 23 is kind of young to try it for the first time, I think. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just, yeah. I never felt creepy or weird about it. I felt like it was a good decision.
Yeah. Which is interesting because noticeably, we don't have a guy on the panel. We were trying to get guys. And it's so funny because several of the guys that I knew who were online dating didn't want to talk about it. And I was talking to another guy here at work yesterday who has several of his guy friends in the Midwest who are doing online dating right now. And I was like, that's funny. I said, would they be willing to talk about it, do you think? Are they the type that would? And he said, well, they talk about it with us, with their close friends, but they're not willing to talk about it because they feel like to say that they're online dating is like handing in their man card, like mm-hmm. they've had to give up or they've had to go this route or it's their last resort or it's whatever. And I said, wow, that's really interesting because so many women that I know, it's very much like, yeah, this is just another mm-hmm. option. This is just another.
It's normal now.
Yeah. So you guys out there, you're going to need to weigh in on this blog post and basically talk about this. Because first of all, I just called you out that you are online dating and you're not willing to talk about it. And so I want to know why. It's so funny because here we have our blog. Nathan Pyle, one of our bloggers, met his wife online. Travis Williams met his wife online. So it's just funny. I mean, it's happening. These are like normal guys, you know, mm-hmm. that are meeting their spouses online and stuff. But yet I think there still is that thing for guys of like, oh, you know, yeah. I don't know. I don't want to tell anyone. I'm doing it in secret.
Yeah. And from a woman's perspective, I think that's totally a brave thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know, try it out and don't be afraid to talk about it. If that's what you're doing and you're really seeking that in your life, seeking someone to have, you know, fill that void or whatever in your mm-hmm. life, it's okay to talk about that. And, you know, make it known, not be ashamed for that. Mm-hmm. Because like we've talked about, it is kind of the new normal now. And mm-hmm. I think that that's okay. Things happen. Things get in the way, like work and you know, pursuing career, grad school, even furthering education. Those things happen. And yeah, I think it's totally acceptable for a guy to talk about that and say mm-hmm. he's on it and interested. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't really understand why they don't. Yeah. Mention that.
Well, you know, and it's funny because I always like Travis's story, for example, because he was very intentional in the process of just using online as a tool for meeting women. But then he went on dates with them. You know, mm-hmm. it's not like, I mean, we do not support emailing someone for 6 years and calling that a relationship. You know, I mean, the whole purpose is uh-huh. you're meeting people, uh-huh. you have to eventually really meet them. So, you know, I think it's great when guys can just say, you know, yeah, but then we actually moved the relationship into real time and real space and it became something real. Now, have either of you had any experience with actually meeting someone, going out on a date, and how'd that go?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
It was fun. I mean, yeah, I've probably gone on, I would say, 8 to 10 dates.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Majority of those are first dates. Uh-huh. You know, one guy, I went on 3 or 4. And like you said about it being a tool, that's what I want it to be for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think that email or even over the phone is sufficient. That's why I try to meet only guys that are in like a 50 to 100 mile radius yeah. tops. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like it's... Otherwise, it's too hard to get mm-hmm. to know them mm-hmm. In the time span unless you have someone that knows them already, mm-hmm. that lives there and can see their character mm-hmm. by some magic that happens. But, yeah, I've gone on several dates and they haven't led into relationships, but it is a tool for me to branch out and to meet mm-hmm. people that I wouldn't normally meet in my own sphere mm-hmm. and to meet guys that maybe I wouldn't have considered before that, based on appearances alone, I wouldn't have thought was right for me, but getting to know their heart via their profile and through emails and really seeing their character and their values mm-hmm. as a man. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think I did the opposite, and I would say I definitely would never do this again. I had, on all the sites I was on, it open to the entire world. And I kid you not, I talked to a guy in Holland for I don't know how long, and that went nowhere. And yet we have built up all this like attachment and stuff. I talked to a guy in California, in Portland, in, you know, and then it becomes like, okay, who's going to fly
yeah.
somewhere to meet you? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, yeah, I think I could have been a lot wiser in setting parameters. Mm-hmm. And but I'm such a... for me, it's easy to communicate online. It's easy for me to type and email and stuff. So I was just like, oh, the more the merrier. Who can I talk to? Who can I get to know? Who can I? I mean, it could have been like a full-on Boundless show for like an entire year of me just sharing these conversations I was having with people. So there was just definitely I could have used some wisdom mm-hmm. in that. But how about you, Adrian? Any meetings with anyone yet?
Well, here I am, the more pessimistic one again. and I went into it and was very overwhelmed at first. I started talking to maybe half a dozen guys that I was pretty interested in. Unfortunately, it was all online and then never went anywhere beyond that. Hmm. You know, and that hurt pretty bad. And mm-hmm. I was kind of like getting fed up with it. And then I had a talk with a friend of mine. And she just said, Adrian, you need to look at this as like, you're getting to know someone, like another human being, you know, you're both in the same boat, kind of just looking for companionship, trying this out. He's probably just as nervous as you are, mm-hmm. you know, so what if his profile isn't perfect or, you know, so what if it's a little bit scary and you're a little afraid to take a risk, mm-hmm. You know, look at him as just another human being, looking for someone to talk to. Mm-hmm. So after that, my perspective changed quite a bit, and I started talking a little bit more to people, and I actually had my first date 2 weeks ago. So yeah, it didn't go anywhere. It wasn't a good match, but after that, I felt much more confident about myself and about, like, feeling like I'm still in the game. You know, I'm still in this. I can still date. So it helped me feel more confident about myself. And then it also helped me to get a better picture of, like, what online dating is. And I don't have to look at it so serious, and he's not going to be the one, you know, automatically. I don't have to think that. Mm-hmm. I can just look at him as another human being worth getting to know and having coffee with.
Mm-hmm. That's a really great point. Mm-hmm. I like that. And I think that part of online dating, the stigma against it, is that it feels like a meat market.
Yeah, it does.
And I got several people that said, oh, you're just going to pick out a husband? Mm-hmm. And it feels like that. It definitely feels like that when you're weeding through the profiles at first and you're getting rid of ones based on these, you know, stupid variables.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think the perspective of that he's also a man and he loves the Lord too, and he is just trying to, you know, find a godly wife, that definitely makes them more human in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
helps me to, like, know that there's value in looking at each profile.
Yeah.
Even if nothing happens, there's still value.
Totally. Well, and for me, it was so freeing to realize that, okay, I'm going on this site. Obviously, he's on the site. We're there for pretty much the same reason. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, you can clear out all the awkward, like, you know, oh, so, you know, and then, or you get to know someone and then they're like, oh, actually, no, I never intend to get married, or I never, you know.
Yeah.
Well, okay, hello, let's just put it on.
Why are you here?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's just helpful to know that, you know, you can get that awkward preliminary conversation out of the way to say, you know, yeah, I'm looking for someone. That's why I'm on this site. So that's, I think, helpful as well. So anything that you guys either would, you know, maybe, you know, I kind of alluded to a definite, very definite mistake I made as far as the parameters and kind of how I went into relationships. But any mistakes that you made that you've kind of have caused you to alter your course kind of through the process, or anything that you see that really has worked that you're like, I'm so glad I did this, like just kind of best practices or things you would do differently?
I think kind of going back to what I mentioned earlier, when I first started, you know, ladies, if you're out there thinking about this, it's going to be a little overwhelming at first, but, you know, keep a clear head about it and remember why you're doing it. I wish I would have had someone close to me that would have said, it's okay to feel a little overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. This is what you can expect. I didn't really know what to expect. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any close friends doing that at the time. You know, so if I would have had someone close to me that could have said, this is what you can expect, you know, it's okay when this happens, you're going to get emails, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid to just maybe risk it, and don't go looking for who the person you think is the one. Mm-hmm. Just look for a person. Mm-hmm. I think that probably would have helped me to have a little better and more successful time at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But yeah, after my perspective changed now with that, it's much more enjoyable for me.
Yeah, that's good.
I think a mistake I've made is just assuming the worst after a few months of doing it, assuming that the person will talk to you or email you for a while and then totally drop off the face of the planet, which has happened several times, whether their membership expires or they're just not interested. It feels a little bit like rejection, you know, and you're being rejected by many men instead of like one that you're interested in.
Yeah.
And so that's never easy to take. And I think a mistake I've made is definitely reading too much into basic communication. And, you know, if a guy sends me an email and he isn't like, hey, you're hot, or says something actually substantial, then I think, oh, he loves me, you know? Or he will love me if he just meets me.
Yeah.
So I think that's classic female mistake.
Yeah. I think one of the mistakes I made, and one of the other mistakes I made, was to think that I had to give every guy a chance, or I had to respond to, I mean, and it's like, especially, like I said, I was doing a number of sites at once.
Boy, yeah.
You just can't. And I finally put on my profile, like, I will not respond to winks. I finally just said that. I just had to, like, cut some kind of, you know, draw some kind of line.
I just put that on mine, too.
Did you really? Yeah. And I'm just like, you know what? I don't have time for that.
No.
So I thought I would just put it out there. But the other thing, yeah, I mean, I remember when one of my friends was online dating, a coworker, actually, and one of the guys on our team helped her go through, like, her profiles. And he's like, look, give me 5 minutes with your profile. and I will eliminate fully 50% of these guys based on. And he just helped her, you know, because mm-hmm. she's like, oh, well, I should at least say something, or I should do it, you know. And it's like, no, you don't owe everyone a big conversation, mm, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. just decide, you know, ferret out the ones, you know, that say something substantial, like you said, Ashley, and that, you know, interest you, that share, you know, you don't have to talk to every guy that's out there. So I thought that was helpful as well. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Well, good. Well, we're going to have to keep following you guys and see how this transpires and, you know, see how things are going. I mean, I always say, I mean, I've seen so many successes in the world of online dating. And I think that when it's done well and within community and intentionally with some accountability, it can yield good results. So thanks so much, ladies.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Sharing your perspective on it. That's good stuff.
After the angel song, everyone held their breath as the darkness rushed back in. Staring into the night, climbing up off their knees with their hearts on fire. They were trembling with fear and joy. Gloria, Gloria. It was a choir of angels singing. The shepherds' ears were ringing, they were ringing with Gloria.
Well, hey, everyone. Very privileged this week for this week's culture segment to have a new guest by phone. I have Chad Eastham on the line. Hey, Chad.
Hey, Lisa.
Very good to have you on The Boundless Show. And I always like introducing new folks to our audience because it's great to get new perspectives into the mix. And so you are currently out in Nashville, right?
I am, and I appreciate you having me, and hello, new audience.
Yeah.
I hope that I'm super not boring and we talk about interesting stuff,
well,
because that's what I want to do.
That's okay. If you're totally boring, I'll just cut you off and start talking myself.
You know, that is your privilege, and I think that you have the responsibility to cut me off if I'm stupid and boring. You do.
Absolutely. Well, Chad is an author. He is, if any of you are familiar with The Truth About Guys, he has spoken on the Revolve Tour. He does a lot of work with teens, but you yourself, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, Chad, you're single, and how old are you right now?
I just turned 32.
Okay, do you like how I just call you out on that?
I was 24. Yeah, I was 24 when I wrote my first book 3 years ago.
Okay.
And now I'm 32. I'm not good at math, but yeah, I am.
I'm not afraid to just make people state their marital status and age, FYI, on the show.
I hope you wouldn't be afraid. It's kind of like, are you a boy or girl?
Right.
Are you single or not? Yeah.
So there you have it. That's it. Well, you speak to thousands of teens each year doing that. You're also a columnist and a teen culture expert. And you just wrote, correct me if I'm wrong, this is The Truth About Breaking Up, Making Up, and Moving On is your newest work. So
Yes, I just finished it. And I think I just sent over a copy to you of the PDF, but it comes out, I think, next month or is when it'll be out. So and I hope it's good. It could be horrible, but I'm super hoping it's not.
Good. Well, that's good. We'll let you know. We'll be sure to let you know.
You know what? You're the one who has to.
I'll read it and give you some feedback. So that'll be good.
Hold back.
Okay. Well, hey, we want to have a conversation here because so one thing I want to ask you just off the bat, because I noticed I watched several of your sessions from Revolve and kind of what you have to say, especially to teen girls, kind of cluing them in on what guys think, first of all. And the fact is, you know, there are some things maybe that teen guys think or teen girls think that are different from the things that young adults think. But there's probably a lot of similarities as well. And so I want to just hear from you just generally, what's the latest and greatest of what you have been hearing as far as, you know, you said you're 24 when you started this and now a few years down the road. What's something especially that kind of jumps out that really is in the conversation between the sexes today?
That's a really good question. I think that's a good conversation starting point. I think, you know, me personally, over the last 8 years, I didn't necessarily want to become a writer or a speaker, but I've always worked with younger people, and I've tried to make sense out of things that seem complicated. I really like research. I like education. It does make sense. And so over the last 8 years in writing and spending time just traveling with people and listening to their stories and looking at the data, I see some really, really amazing things in people, but I see some very just disconcerting facts about math. And I know that sounds, you know, vague. What I mean is people are more encouraged now and more willing to try and willing to learn than I've ever seen. Like, you can see it in their hearts. You can see it to the people listening. They may be discouraged. They may be single. They may have had their hearts broken, still breaking, but they still want good things because we're wired that way. And when I say wired, I mean neurobiologically, emotionally, everything. And the other thing is that I look at the facts, Lisa, and it doesn't make sense to me. So I think a lot of other people are trying to make sense out of the information that's given to them about how to have relationships with one another, myself included, growing up in that. But when I look at a 54% divorce rate in a country that's developed like our own with almost 80%, you know, Protestant people, that's great. We hear about 50 to 54% divorce rate, somewhere around there. Well, let's take 46% of that, of the people who stay married. Like, yay, 46% success. That's not the percentage that matters. It's the percentage of people who are really successful and happy and content and married. How many of the people that are married and have relationships are really happy, like deeply in love, growing as people, encouraging one another, feeling completely free instead of insecure or jealous? I'm down to somewhere between 10 or 20%. So I think myself and a lot of other people at some point start to go, if I look around and maybe 5 to 15% of people are having incredible relationships with each other, I'm not that concerned with listening to what other people have to say. I'd rather go it alone and start over with some friends and go back to text and look at things, because those numbers are dismal, and yet all of my friends are hopeful. So that's what I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say, like, what's the distinguishing factor then, whether you look at Christian, I mean, there's Christian young adults versus the culture, obviously, but even within the church, we are still seeing a lot of fractured relationships, and we're still seeing a lot of singles kind of protracting their singleness and not getting to marriage. So what would you say is playing into that?
Because I don't think people have any clue. The numbers look the same between church and not church, because we're all people trying to make sense out of this, and we can't. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to being, I mean, because we're not starting at the basics. Like, we're not looking at why in the world people ever get together anyway. We're not looking at, like, what our own needs are, like men. Like, it's hard to know, like, what your needs are. Let me give you an example. I was naively virtuous. I've said that to a couple of my friends. That term just kind of popped up in my head one night. The whole, you know, the great responsible part of an incredible youth group that I was a part of with great friends that are still my friends, it was wonderful, but teaching me to be a man of God and to court people and all of these things and to be virtuous, and from the moment I lay eyes upon a female, I need to admire her as though she is my wife to be and prepare that way. Okay, that spits in the face of education, how the brain works, common sense, learning what you like and don't like about people. It doesn't mean that you have to go sleep with 100 people, but it does mean that it's great to teach young men to be virtuous and to care about women, but it's just as equally important for them to understand what their own needs are, not to just feel valiant. And I, until I was 30 or 31, if I wrote down the five things that I really respond to or feel like I need that compliment me well on a female, you know, the top five would have been different than 2 years ago. None of them would have been the same, because I didn't know. And so when you're trying to care and think about others and doing the right thing, you can neglect yourself. And that's the part of being loved and giving love. So I think you start at the very basics. Mm-hmm. People don't even know how to talk to each other. Like, girls are like, if a guy comes up and hey there, and they try to get in touch a couple times, some of my friends, hello, stalker. You're like, no, a stalker stands outside your window. A man who texted you twice to see if you'd like to get together for dinner is not a stalker.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do things that are just odd. You know, men have a really difficult time. Girls don't understand how hard it is for guys to come up to girls and be like, how are you? and talk that way. And but we need girls to respond well to that. And the list just goes on and on. So I think for me and a lot of other people, there's so much good literature and things out there that I kind of want to throw off the burden and just encourage people to, like, we can start using the God-given brain that we have to, like, ask questions and be like, that doesn't make sense.
Well, I think for girls, if they like the guy, then he's just into her. And if she doesn't like him, then he's a stalker. So that's kind of the, I think that's the way it plays out, you know.
Hey,
like,
hey, let's play this both ways, because girls can be kind of stalkery too. And remember, nobody thinks they're a stalker. Everyone else knows they are.
Right. Well, yeah, girls get crazy.
Well, I mean, we all do, because, hey, here's another one. Girls get crazy. What does that mean? I hear that as an autonomous and limbic system response to their emotion. The same with guys. So I hear girls are crazy. No, guys are crazy too, because no one even knows what their feelings are there for in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, I wrote this funny thing on, you know, I study and try to research some of the common, like, notable sayings and how they shift over time with young people. And because it's philosophy, like, follow your heart. And, you know, if you follow your heart, you can never go wrong. I mean, how many of you and females have sworn by your feelings meaning something? Always listen to your heart, always, you know, those types of things. The Bible says actually exactly the opposite of that. It says don't be led by the heart, but to lead the heart. And when I hear people say, if I may just soapbox it for a minute, when they say follow your heart, I think that that's so stupid, because here's what I hear. Follow my heart. That's an organ in my body. The heart actually is supposed to be led. It's all about, like, connecting fear and response systems. And emotions are great, but they have to be paired with knowledge, because feelings aren't necessarily true. Why do feelings exist in the first place? If we understood that, we might realize how they're there to inform us, not control us. They are the tail on the dog, not the dog. And so I think, you know, I started there to say follow your heart is actually pretty terrible advice a lot of times. If it's not, maybe we should stop listening to our heart and think a little more with our head and mix the two of them together, because just because you're feeling a certain way doesn't make it truth, nor do we even know why that fear exists. You know, oh no, somebody's breaking up with me, they're rejecting me, and I feel all these things almost instantly. And I kind of went back and just started where those things come from and what the point of them is. So, you know, I think that, I know that that's super vague, but I think if you ask 20 people in a room, what are feelings and what are they there for? You'll get 20 different answers in the first place.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that you want to get married.
Well, yeah, sure. I would love to get married.
Right. Well, and I know we here at Boundless talk a lot about marriage and how really it is a good thing. I mean, I think our generation has kind of lost a vision for marriage and God's design for it. I mean, that's obviously huge. And what it's created is you know, that whole, the craziness, like you were saying before about feelings and stuff, has made guys a little bit unsure. And it feels like guys kind of default towards passivity. And then women get what I call crazy and controlling. And they say they're going to shape their own story and they're going to make this guy like them. And they're going to, you know, and it just gets into this whole craziness. So the reason I asked if you want to get married is, so what does that look like for you then? Like, what are you doing to move in that direction? I mean, how are you relationally pursuing love, as you said, and ultimately marriage? And what does that look like for you in kind of the structure you have in your life?
Yeah, that's a great question. One, I can't predict the future, so I have no way of answering what will that look like. But I do know this, that my own life spent learning how to love more. Like, people get caught up, you know, the Great Commission and Western Protestant culture, we talk about, you know, love God and then love your neighbor as yourself. And we skip over the first part. And, you know, the Russian Orthodoxy and all the other, they didn't. They spent a little more time on the love God. Love God first and then your neighbor. But God, God, God. Know God, be still, know him, and know yourself. The Bible says, go and know yourself through the renewing of the mind. Go search for wisdom and you'll find it. Seek it and you'll find it. Like, be still, know that he is. All of these things which we drastically overlook. And when I do that, I find that my job is to love myself, it's to love other people, and it's to be the best person that I can be. And the questions of romance take care of themselves, in my opinion, when I'm doing that. I'll tell you a couple of things, you know, in the last couple of years that have been an extremely, I went through a couple, you know, I haven't had good relationships either. I've only had a couple of relationships in my life, and even those didn't end well because I didn't know how to have them. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a great mom and a great dad, just like most people listening. So how in the world was I supposed to know how to do everything exactly well?
Well, like I had a great mom and a great dad, and I still messed up my relationships, too. So
right.
I mean, don't feel alone in that.
Right, because I mean, so everyone.
I did that all by myself. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And right, punk, you even had a good mom and dad, and you messed it up. That's because we all do.
Isn't that Madea that says, I can do bad all by myself? There you go.
Right, okay. And when women do bad, men go right after them. Mm-hmm. So, hey, there you go. Thanks for that. Because we're exactly cyclical. We need each other. When you're being great, you are affecting men greatly. And when you're being poor and insecure or jealous or petty or all the things that you or any female, they're going to hurt men. They're going to destroy men around them. In the same respect, when I'm being a good man, and I know that now, when I'm living in love and when I'm encouraging the people around me and not being cheesy about it, but because I mean it and saying, hey, listen to me, you're incredible at that. You're awesome. You are smart. Like to my friends who are girls, it's amazing to realize how much we need to encourage each other and mean it for no impure motives, but because we care about our friends and like them more than we want to date them. Mm-hmm. And when I'm being a good man, I affect the women around me really well and the men. And when I'm not, or when I'm being angry or greedy or annoying or just aggravated or insecure or jealous or petty, I will hurt the women around me. There is no such thing as a gender neutral human being on other people. And that to me is one of the things that, and if I can just say this, and I really feel this in the last few months since I finished, you know, just kind of sitting in research and reading for the last 6 months and writing this book, is that people don't know that. Like, girls forget that. Like, you're the key to a man's heart. I mean, girls are powerful, but if you don't know you aren't powerful. I think people forget that they affect each other. And, you know, I have an incredible group of friends in the last couple of years. Like, I've always had a good group of friends, but in Nashville specifically, we realized that, like, dude, I love my friends. And I realized that, I'm going to tell you something, I figured out recently, I had, you know, Mary Graham and all these people from Women of Faith that I had this very rare opportunity from, like, the age of 24 to be around. And, you know, I didn't want to be around that many girls. It's creepy at some point if you're a guy and all your guy friends are making fun of you for being at women's conferences. But then again, they're kind of dumb. I just got incredible insight from people like that. And I realized one day, all of my favorite people, Lisa, all have something in common. Call it narcissistic or call it natural. They all think that I'm great. And they all remind me of the good things about myself and tell me that they believe in me from, like, when I was locked up for 2 years of my life as a teenager in juvenile detention centers and long-term rehabs. Like, I was, you know, Joe Niehoff was my first counselor who used to do that. Mary Graham and all these people. My favorite people in the world tell me how great I am. And it makes me want to be great. And I realized, oh my gosh, that's my job, is to remind people of, because I can be cynical, I can be negative, I can really quickly be what people call realistic, which is not. And I realized that if it's my job to encourage the people around me and actually realize that it's very powerful, people like you back, you don't have to worry about whether or not a girl might want to go out on a date with you, because turns out girls super like to be encouraged from non-creepy guys who mean it, mm-hmm. and vice versa. And so, you know, that's what I mean, is forget all the, how do we do this? How do we do this? Go back to the basics and ask those questions. You know, I think that should be encouraging, because anybody can do it.
Right. So before we close out here, Chad, I want to ask you one other thing, because we kind of started out talking about what you've said on Revolve and some of the other speaking that you've done to teens. And I know you have some pretty hardcore things to say on purity, and you talked a little bit about, you know, well, you know, being virtuous.
Yeah,
and
let me correct that. I don't necessarily have any hardcore anything to say about purity, in the sense of purity needs no adjective or anything. Like, purity is not about sex. Purity is not about not drinking. Purity is a beautiful and big word. It is about trying to be pure, period. Like, to know good things, to know God, to know love. And so I hate that sometimes that phrase gets coined down to whether or not people have sex.
Right.
Because it has to do much more with a pure heart. So I'm sorry if I interjected there, but that one was important to me.
Well, and that's good, because I want to, you know, I just want you to maybe quickly address here, how do you think that, you know, how... for example, you know, whether we're talking specifically about sex, because, you know, let's face it, a lot of churches today are telling their teens, you know, let's get you this purity ring, let's make sure you do this pledge, let's whatever.
Yeah, let me go ahead and give you my opinion in two sentences on all of that. And I came up with this 8 years ago teaching Title V education in school districts in Ohio in the program that I ran. There is no, okay, yes, disease and pregnancy, very important to address that in physicality, but there is no point and talking about sexual relationships if people don't understand the basics of a relationship in the first place. Mm-hmm. It's important not to separate sex as though it's the thing that God wants us to know about each other. In fact, that's like the little ending when we really understand how to love one another. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's very important, in my personal opinion, that people can feel encouraged about that, because they're tired of hearing about the reasons and talking about sex so much when they aren't understanding the basics of each other in the first place, and like how we're different and how we're the same. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, what people I would love for people to know is like their feelings of confusion are warranted. Mm-hmm. You know, this feeling of heartache and wondering if it's ever, while we're trying so hard and we want good things and we're trying to practice them and we have a hard time finding them. To me, that would be disheartening. Mm-hmm. And the analogy that I keep feeling over the last few months or the last year is like, imagine I was walking for so many years in the woods, and imagine you or the people listening, like sometimes you just feel alone. Like the people, let's not talk about porn, just talk about it as a subject. Like it's a misplaced desire and lust, and the people who struggle with that, and they're insecure and they hate themselves and they don't feel pretty, or they've been heartbroken, or they've cheated, or they've been imperfect humans, because we all are. It's like we're walking along the forest and it's dark out, and maybe I've been there for years and I can only see 5 feet around me from my little headlamp, and all I hear are these creepy sounds and clicks, and I've been afraid, feeling all alone in this forest for years. And if there was just this light, you know, if there was an ability to have it shine on a bigger area of the forest I'm standing in, it might be scary for me to realize that there's thousands of people just like me all around me. We've all not seen each other because there's just this little light that we have. And we've all been, you know, afraid of each other. And I would have been like, just knowing that, I've been like, oh, dude, I thought you were a big old monster that was going to eat me. And I mean, I know this is funny, but just generally speaking, like we get afraid of what we don't know. And if we realized that we were all in the same boat, and that we all could just walk together, we would not be alone. And that would change the journey. Just knowing that people feel the same way. And here's what we have figured out. Here's where people are confused. Let's just talk about it. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about it and see, and not be so certain of the answers, but start to be in wonder and awe of God and the uncertainty that we have to go and search, and that not every answer is the same for every single person. Like, he doesn't standardize your journey with somebody else's. I don't know why we ever would have thought that it happens the same exact way for every single person.
Yeah. Well, Chad, thanks so much for weighing in on this. You know, again, I want to let people know, Chad Eastham, he is the author of The New, The Truth About Breaking Up, Making Up, and Moving On, as well as doing a lot of speaking and working as a columnist and being single himself. So, hey, Chad, thanks so much for weighing in on this and talking to us.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I think, I don't mean to get too heavy on those things sometimes, but I want everyone to just be encouraged to know that, like, we're a lot alike, and I hope that people feel completely free and open to like bring these things up so we can just discuss it and encourage each other and say, it's okay, we'll figure it out. Like, let's all just do it together.
Yeah, cool. Well, you can find out more about Chad at ChadEastham, that's EASTHAM.com, and find out what he's up to and where he'll be next. And so thanks again for just chatting with me, Chad.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. And I'm sorry for myself for any of the things that I might have said later that people get mad at me for. But not really.
Yeah, well, you know, join the club.
Right. All right. You have a great one. Thank you for having
me. Not a problem. All right. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
We found one in a closet, one in a drawer. There's no hiding place we won't find anymore. We'd shake every present for any small clue of what lies beneath the words from me to you. Oh, but for every present left under a tree, there are things that we hope for and never received. The years and the yearning can make us forget
everyone. We are opening up this week's inbox with another great question related to online dating. And so for that, we have Sam Moorcroft on the line. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well, doing well. Well, hey, we have a lot of people that are asking questions about online dating, so I'm glad that you're available to us. That's
sure.
Great. And this girl, actually, this is a question pretty specific to Christian Cafe, so you are the one to answer this one.
Right.
She actually says, I've known about your blogs and Focus on the Family for a while now, so I felt comfortable trying out ChristianCafe.com as my option for finding a future husband, if the Lord wills. I have this concern, though. While browsing through your singles I came across, 90% of the men on there are over 30 years old. I'm only 23. Do you have a recommendation for younger singles like me, or am I missing something about your dating site that maybe you guys can clarify for me?
Okay, well, thank you very much for your question. A couple of things come to my mind right away. First of all, I think it's very important that people decide what age range they're comfortable considering to date before they get started. So in this case, the young lady has said she's 23. So my assumption is that she probably wants to date someone a few years younger all the way to, say, a few years older, somewhere between, let's say, you know, 21 to 28. But it might be a bit older, it might be a bit younger. In my case, personally, my wife is a little over 6 years younger than me. So if she had been 23, that would have put me at about 29 if in this particular case. So I think it's important, number one, to establish. And secondly, you're mentioning that 90% of the men are over 30. That's actually not the case. What I suspect is happening is when you're searching, you're not checking off the age category, because we've got numerous multiple choice items on the site, one of which is age. And when you're doing a search, you can check that I'm looking for guys in this particular age range, you know, 18 to 20, 21 to 25, 26 to 30, 31 to 35, whatever it happens to be. And our system will only start showing you people who are outside that range if they run out of people within that range based on what else you're searching for. So make sure that when you're doing a search, if age is important to you, that you put on the specific types of ages that you're looking for. And then that way, you won't be pulling up tons of guys who are outside your range. That doesn't mean, though, that guys who are of any age range are not going to find you. And that can be a good thing, or that can be something you're not comfortable with. And so we've got tools set up so you can actually say, I don't want to receive mail from people over certain ages. So my response to people who do write to you, if you've got a guy who, say, you know, 31 to 35 who writes to you, I wouldn't necessarily dismiss it right away unless you've decided that it's important for you that a guy be under 30. So if it's not a deal breaker, I would at least check it out. And if you get people who are writing to you who are outside your range, I would simply respond to them and say, I'm not really interested, and also make a point of putting it in your profile so that you put in the written section that, please note, I'm interested in meeting guys within this age range. That doesn't mean that guys outside that range will write anyway. Some of them might, but at least that way you're sort of streamlining what you're looking for. And we've got lots of eligible guys who are in their 20s, so I'm sure you'll have no problem connecting with the right person.
All right. Well, those are good thoughts, Sam, and a great detail as far as the way that your site works. So I think that will be helpful for her. So
sure.
Good thoughts. All right, everyone. That is it for this week's show. As always, write to us, editor@boundless.org, with your question for a future show, and we will try to get it answered as best we can. Hopefully, you're catching up on past shows as well, because sometimes I know it's easy to get behind in the hubbub of life. So do catch up on those and make sure you comment on our blog. That is it for this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org. Focus on the family.